For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And let it not be forgotten in the Edwin Diaz saga that I thought last night's game for the Mets was very, very important. They won yet another series. They've been on fire since whatever you want to call it, the team meeting, Grimish showing up, whatever you want to define it as. They have been a very good team that are just going out and winning series. And I remember saying to you 2 weeks ago as they began this 12-game stretch before the Mets were going to play the Yankees in the Subway Series, go 8-4. That was my goal. Mm-hmm. And they won 9-3. So they did even better than I had hoped for. A 9-3 run, including a big win of a rubber game against the Chicago Cubs. On the other side, you have the Yankees. And I stand very firmly with something I said to you 3 days ago, despite what happened this weekend. And that is the fact that this is a 162-game season. Mm-hmm. There are going to be peaks. There are going to be valleys. And it is very easy. We all fall victim to it. I have fallen victim to it, where we react so passionately to the valleys or the peaks that we can't see the forest in the trees. Right now, the Yankees are not playing well. There's no doubt. No one's going to deny that. They have lost 4 out of the last 5 series. They have lost 7 out of their last 10 games. I get it. Those are facts. Mm-hmm. I can't deny that. But do I think that this is the New York Yankees now? Am I really supposed to believe that these 10 games and these last 2.5 weeks are more definitive than the first 2.5 months? Am I supposed to believe that this Carlos Rodon, well, that's the real Carlos Rodon, the guy from the first 2 months, fraud! Am I supposed to believe that Luis Gil is now damaged goods? Am I supposed to believe that? Am I supposed to believe that Alex Verdugo, who you guys love, you love the guy, now that he's slumping and his OPS is approaching the sixes, now he just sucks. He's terrible. He doesn't make an impact. We have to react to these stretches with a sense of, okay, let's look at the big picture. Mm-hmm. And Tiki, here's the big picture. The Yankees responded to the Orioles series by losing 2 out of 3. I get it. The Orioles responded to the Orioles-Yankees series by getting their asses swept by the Houston Astros.
Right. Thankfully for the Yankees, the Astros took care of business with the Orioles. But it's interesting because to me, I look at this stretch that they've been in for the last 4 or 5 series and now going forward, including the upcoming Subway Series, as where Aaron Boone and by extension, Brian Cashman really have to start working. Right, this is where it makes a difference, how you manage this type of this dip, right? It's happening. Clearly, they're top-heavy. Volpe's still doing what he's doing. Soto is doing what he's doing, even though Sean had an issue with him and maybe started to boo him, even though he said he never would. Aaron Judge is doing what he's doing, right? So we know they're top-heavy, but it's what happens after that that Cashman has to provide Aaron Boone with, who then has to manage very, very carefully because you don't want to... Look, they're not falling out of conversation. Right? They're not losing enough where they're just going to be, oh, God, this team stinks, and you know, they're not winning 90 games. You know they're good. You know they're going to correct at some point. But managing this stretch, to me, is the most important thing Aaron Boone can do right now. Right? How he does it is really, well, really important.
And he's in
some of it's going to be lineup stuff, yeah, because obviously Giancarlo Stanton is now unavailable, surprisingly, especially because I thought he wouldn't get hurt this year because he worked so hard.
More on that
right,
later.
We'll get to that in a second. But still, managing now with what you have or what you don't have is what Aaron Boone is going to be judged on. Right? It's easy to manage when everybody's raking. It's easy to manage when everybody's pitching great, when your bullpen is one of the top bullpens in Major League Baseball. But when things start to go awry, you got to find the stabilization. Well, that's what Boone has to figure out right now.
What the Yankees need, and I hate to say this, but this is something we said about the Mets when they were struggling, and sometimes it's so simple because there's no magic elixir, is that there are certain guys, and I'll name them by name, they got to be better. They got to be better. So let me start with one particular guy. And it's tough to rip this guy, but the facts are the facts. Juan Soto's had a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Doesn't mean he sucks. Doesn't mean he can't handle New York. Doesn't mean he's not going to turn it around. Juan Soto is going through a bad stretch. And sometimes he can, and I guess this is a compliment what I'm about to say about him. He's able to mask the bad stretch by drawing a crap ton of walks. Because even when he struggles, he gets on base a lot. But right now, with the way this team is built, with Giancarlo Stanton out, with Anthony Rizzo out, with Alex Verdugo slumping, the Yankees need more than a walk machine.
Mm-hmm.
They need more than a guy who's just going to get on base a lot. They need the old Juan Soto. They need the hot Juan Soto. And so for the last week, he's hitting .158 with one RBI. That needs to change. That's number one. Number two, and this one, I have to admit, there's a level of concern. What the hell's up with DJ LeMahieu? I believed in DJ LeMahieu coming into this season because I saw him perform well in the second half last year, and I thought, all right, you know what? DJ still has something left. Mm-hmm. He may never be La Machine from 2019 or 2020, but he could still be a productive player. He has not been a productive player. DJ LeMahieu makes Jeff McNeil blush. DJ LeMahieu can't buy an extra base hit. And so at some point you start to say to yourself, all right, he's missed some time. I get it. He's a veteran player, I understand. It's only 76 plate appearances, but at what point do you say, okay, I'm a little worried?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay, forget I'm a little worried. I'm very worried.
Well, I mean, you got, but this is what I'm talking about with Aaron Boone. It's like, you want to trust DJ LeMahieu, but he is 35 years old, and he's coming off multiple years of foot injuries, which seem like, it's just a toe. It's just whatever the thing was at the top of his foot. I don't know if it was a fracture, but it was a big bruise that kept him out for a long time. But when you hurt your feet, it's really hard to be an athlete.
But when you say Aaron Boone, what do you want to do? You want to bench him? You want to say, I give up on him?
No, this is what I mean. So Aaron Boone, it's one thing to be like, hey, dude, put his arm around. Hey, you know, DJ, how you feeling? You know, can I trust you type of thing? Two, hey, DJ, look, you kind of like Jeff McNeil, the conversation that the Mets should be having with Jeff McNeil. You're not an everyday player anymore for us. As much as I love your history, you're more of a liability to us now than you've ever been, and we have to find ways to win without you, right? And it's a hard conversation to have.
Well, it's an even harder conversation when you don't have a replacement. That's part of the problem.
Well, I mean, bringing in J.D. Davis isn't, I mean, no, maybe it's like part of the solution, but he's having a bad year.
Take the jokes away, because I know everybody's going to make jokes. I know Met fans will make jokes. I'm not going to make a joke. That's a good addition.
Yep.
It's a good addition because you need bodies.
Yes.
You need human beings.
Yes.
You need options if things don't turn around with DJ LeMahieu. You need options if Gleyber Torres continues to struggle. You need options because as much as Waldo Cabrera, and I know it's easy to say, play as Waldo Cabrera. And they should play as Waldo Cabrera. But are you really playing him against lefties? Because he doesn't hit lefties.
No.
And the Yankees as a whole don't hit lefties. So bringing in a veteran player who's done it before, even if he hasn't done it recently, mm-hmm. this year with Oakland, or even last year with San Francisco, that's not a bad move. Ignore the mockings of Met fans. You're not going to hear that from me, because sometimes you just need warm bodies.
Yeah.
But more important than anything, and I know this is boring, but this is just the reality, you need your baseball players to play better. Juan Soto needs to be better. DJ LeMahieu needs to be better.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Alex Verdugo needs to be better. Gleyber Torres has had a bad season overall. He needs to be better. I don't want to say Ben Rice needs to be better. He's barely played and he's been okay.
Mm-hmm.
But Ben Rice, dude, opportunities right in front of you. Hit.
Right.
Perform.
I mean,
Trent Grisham, dude, you're going to play a lot now. Perform. And so I don't think it's Boone. I don't think it's even Brian Cashman, at least for a few more weeks. In the right now, in the moment, you just need guys on your baseball team that have played like crap to not play like crap.
Yeah, and the guys that have played like crap, by the way, I think DJ LeMahieu is completely shot. I think Tiki's exactly right. He should be a bench player. It lengthens the Yankee bench a little bit. Unfortunately, if guys keep dropping like flies, he has to play every day, so we lose that. But ultimately, if Juan Soto was struggling and Verdugo was struggling, what you're seeing now is a product of the Yankees when the big guys aren't getting going, because the Yankees have had a ton of warts this year completely covered up. They were able to survive in April when Judge wasn't hitting, and then Judge heated up and covered more warts. If those main guys, I'm basically calling the big three at this point, Judge, Soto, and Verdugo, because you look around, where else can you rely on anybody?
Volpe.
But outside of that, catcher, third, they get nothing out of any of those guys.
Yes.
And Stanton carried them a little bit, too, and we were all afraid to admit it. Now we're losing him. There's just too many warts up and down this team for them to afford any of those four guys not to hit.
All right, let's take out the worry scale, then. On a scale from, let's say, one being a cool, calm Tiki Barber to a 10 being Frank the Tank. Where would you put your worry?
Okay, well, before you answer that,
go ahead.
What does the worry consist of? Because we all know they're going to the playoffs regardless. So what's your point?
What specifically?
Yeah, what am I worried about? Am I worried about them falling out and missing the playoffs?
By the way, if your answer is we're making the playoffs anyway,
that's zero.
Then you're at zero. Then you're telling me you're not worried. You don't even care.
But right.
Is that what you're telling me?
But to me, I'm worried to the point of what I'm seeing now takes me back to the Yankees of a couple years ago, where I think I lose less confidence that this team is a real World Series contender.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's exactly right. It's more, are the moves going to be made, or, to your point, Evan, are guys going to start playing better, that this is not just a good regular season and, yay, we made the postseason, to what kind of things can be done to make this team better in the postseason, or for the postseason, I should say. And so what's the worry for that? That's where it gets a little over five. Right? That's where it gets to six and sevens. But is this team going to be good? Am I worried? Not at all.
Well,
it's zero. It's not even one. It's zero. I'm not worried about that.
You've got about 19 games where you're not adding anybody. Like, you're not making a big trade. I mean, J.D. Davis, if you want to count that, that's an addition. But you've got about 3 weeks, and I know we all love talking about trades, and let's get this guy, let's get that guy, and that will come. But they're not doing anything for 3 weeks. Very rarely do you make a trade in late June, early July. Now, it's happened, because I think the greatest trade Brian Cashman arguably ever made actually occurred on June 29th, if I'm being exact. And that was when he acquired David Justice. And he did that in the 2000 season. And if the Yankees never acquired David Justice, forget winning the World Series. They don't make the playoffs. So when anyone likes to badmouth Brian Cashman, that to me is the trump card of trades. But my point is, that's a rarity to make an impactful deal like that in the month of June, which means you've got 3 weeks to figure it out.
Yeah, but
before some hero comes riding in on the horse.
But it's also not that type of team. This team is not that type of team. They're going to make the playoffs. So it's not like you need a super savior in the middle of June, or end of June, I should say, before, and a month before the trade deadline. One, you need guys to play better. Two, you need you need something to happen from Brian Cashman's standpoint. His problem is that there aren't the farm system isn't providing it. It's not going to provide it. All those guys that we thought would be available, they're not available.
Well, Dominguez getting hurt feels so much bigger than it felt in the moment.
Huge.
And to a lesser extent, Everson Pereira, too.
Yeah. Right. Pereira. Even I mean, Peraza was been down. He was hurt, and now he's... he's back, but he's hitting terribly in the minors right now. I think, what is he, 150 or one something like that?
Right.
So he's a defensive player when he comes up, but he's not even worth it. He was up for a day, right? He's not your answer. So the answer isn't in the farm
system. No, the answer's here. And it's why I actually still have more confidence than some of you guys. I don't think Labor Torres is this bad. And I'm not going to use the back of the baseball card thing because I want to eliminate that phrase from my vocabulary. But some of the guys on this team that have underperformed outside of the big names are not this bad. Labor Torres is not this bad. He's just not. I don't even think DJ LeMahieu is this bad.
I think he's shot.
Well, he's a 160 hitter who can't get an extra base
hit. Not a 160 hitter, but I think he's the type of guy 35 or over that would be on a classic Yankee team's bench. And now you need to rely on him.
And guess what? He probably will end up there. Right now, he can't be there because they don't have options.
And you're thinking about all of these problems.
Trent Grisham will end up on their bench, but right now he's an everyday player.
We just went through all these problems and we didn't even mention the bullpen still stinks. How many different guys do they got to add every single day? Chasen Shreve has been dug up out of nowhere. So... you talk about less sellers at the deadline, time to get there. Not only that, This is the Yankee team, they really want to contend. You need to identify like three or four problems. Where do you add?
Well, let me address one issue, and I'm pointing straight at you, because on Friday night, you were in the building for Yankees Braves, and there's
two pitches and didn't even sit down and have a bite of a hot dog yet.
I understand. Carlos Rodon was bad. He gave up three home runs. He gave up seven runs in 3 2/3 innings.
That felt personal, by the way, that he knew I was in the building.
And he said, I'm going to suck for you.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, proceeded to cry, which I'm not mocking. He's emotional. You had any issue with that as an athlete?
No, I mean, it happens. You just, because what you're trying to do isn't working, and you don't know why.
Right.
That happens.
Look, it happens. But did you boo Carlos Rodon Friday night?
Of course I did. Of course I did.
Can you let me know how it sounded? Because I'm curious what kind of boo it was. So please recreate what came out of your mouth on Friday night.
$100 million waste again, Carlos!
Kiss my fat ass!
All right, can I defend the guy for a second?
What, he's allowed to stink?
He has had two bad starts in a row. Mm-hmm.
We call that a pattern.
Two!
One is not a pattern, two is.
Like, and by the way, like I'm not trying to defend his start against Boston. It wasn't good. It was on a level of 1 to 10 in suckiness, like a 5.5. The one on Friday, no excuse, he was bad. It happens. Are you really willing to throw away the first 14 starts he made this season and say,
Evan,
up he stinks, he's back?
Evan, you can't throw away the first 14 starts, but the fact remains, how do you trust him in big spots versus big teams if he goes on another run? Like, Carlos Rodon, to me, always has that clunker readily available in his arm. I just don't trust him to be a backup to Gerrit Cole on the ace meter for this team.
Because of how he did against a good team?
Yeah, well, it's not.
Is that what it is? Because I remember pitching into the seventh inning against the Astros.
He's had
good
moments.
Are they a good team? Do they count?
He's had good moments. But his track record for the Yankees is you will obviously take the good. But there's no way you could trust it because we've seen too much bad.
Well, no. He had a bad year last year. Like, we all agree with that. He was terrible last year. This is a new year. He got off to a really good start. He's had a really good season. Like, he is, at worst, giving you six innings, two runs as a bad start. Like, he's mostly had a really good year.
If 75%...
And now he's had two bad starts in a row. I acknowledge that, but you're ready to say, see,
what you've seen in the last two starts, if finishes the year and 75% of the starts look like what he looked like earlier in the year, if he's pitching game two of a postseason series, in the pit of your stomach when you wake up that morning, you confident Carlos Rodon is shutting down the other lineup?
No.
So that's my point. I have no trust in him, and this only further backs that up.
Interesting.
Is it?
No, I think you're fascinating, yeah, because in one breath, we'll be fine, we're making the playoffs, but in the other breath, you sound very scared. You sound very panicky.
I'm scared of losing in the playoffs,
he's scared of the individual. It's weird.
The playoffs are in October,
dude. What he's talking about is the individuals. So the individuals... If you asked that exact same question and didn't make it a Yankees conversation, mm-hmm. So you're talking about the Yankees worry meter, it's 1 or 0.
Right.
If you take an individual player, whether it's DJ LeMahieu, whether it's Carlos Rodon, whether it's Gleyber Torres, whoever, any of the struggling players, Juan Soto, you put these conversations individually, you'd say, yeah, DJ, that's a 9, right? Gleyber, he's probably 8.5. Soto, 5 or so. DJ, 10, right? Like, Rodon, I'm going to put that one at like 6.5 or maybe even 7, right? So when you talk about the individual players, it's easy to be worried. When you look at the team as a whole, they're still the most wins in baseball.
You're still tied for first place thanks to the Houston Astros. Have you said thank you to the Astros yet today or no?
Thank you, Houston Astros, please, because we could be buried without you.
That is true. More on the Yankees later, including... Juan Soto is starting to take some heat from a lot of Yankee fans, and I'm mildly surprised. But right now, let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Gentlemen, Tiki and Evan, good to talk to you guys. Listen, by the way, I did tell Al about what you left him at the office. He said he did take it,
nice.
And he said thank you very much.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure you already know that. But, so listen, I'm gonna calm down a lot of Yankee fans here, including Sean. I think we've all agreed, right? By and large, everybody has been saying that this team is better than the 2022 team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're deeper, their pitching is better, the ERA is lower, they're hitting more, they have Juan Soto. So, and that the league is weaker. Houston doesn't appear to be as strong as they used to be. And, they, you know, Cleveland, really, do we take them seriously is what I hear people say. also, like teams like Seattle and Minnesota. You know, the Yankees can just throw their cleats on the field and beat those guys. So, basically, look, They went to the ALCS in 2022 when they supposedly sucked, right? Now we agree that they're better, right? Just put me in that spot again, which seems pretty likely. I don't want to jinx it or touch the money.
Right.
And, you know, just get us healthy. We didn't have Benintendi. We didn't have LeMahieu back then. And, you know, LeMahieu was actually being lost back then because we didn't know he sucked yet. We were missing a lot of key pieces. Just get us there healthy this season, finally. You know, with or without Stanton, because we can't rely on him. But if we have him, we'll be even stronger. And I think we'll be fine, man. Just we'll be at that spot at the minimum.
Well, here's the way I would also look at it. They're going to make trades at the deadline. The Yankees are probably going to be pretty different when we're talking about them before game one of the wild card series or game one of the divisional series. So here's the way I view this, and I view it very similarly with the Mets. I would be laser focused on the American League East. I need to win the division by any means necessary.
Focus on Baltimore. Monitor Baltimore. It's funny. You remember a couple weeks ago you were asking me if I'm paying attention to the Orioles?
That's when you know the pennant race starts, yeah.
Right. I wasn't until after the Yankees-Orioles series.
Really? So you focused on this weekend?
Now I was focused on this
weekend. And I think Yankee fans should. And what happened this weekend, like, do you think in Baltimore, who, by the way, the Orioles haven't won a playoff game last year. They got swept. All right? They won the division. They went over 100 games. Their asses got swept in the first round by the Texas Rangers. Do you think in Baltimore they're scared? You think in Baltimore they're panicking? You think in Baltimore they're saying, hey, we got swept by the Astros, we're screwed, we're not that good? It's freaking baseball!
No, I think they're concerned because they have their own warts. They may not be concerned about playing the
Yankees. Everybody's got warts, of course!
They're down how many starters? Yeah, but that's the point, Evan. Just because other people don't have warts doesn't mean you shouldn't be internally worried, especially with the pressure on this season for the Yankees.
I'm not saying you shouldn't try to address your own issues. I'm trying to say you're still in the driver's seat to win the American League East. Yeah, Despite this horrible stretch where they've lost 7 out of 10, you're tied for first place, essentially, in the American League East.
You know what would have been nice? Taking advantage of the Orioles being swept this weekend, and the Yankees couldn't do that. Yeah. So how many times are the Orioles going to be swept the rest of the year?
You picked up a game on them.
Picked up one game. You know, it would have been nice not to get blown out in game one and feel like you were lifeless yesterday. Can we win a little more games as the Orioles will lose them?
Did you ever find your AirPods that you lost at Yankee Stadium?
It's honestly the most distraught I have been since the passing of my dog.
Losing your AirPods?
Dude, I...
More distraught than the Rangers losing to the Florida Panthers who are on the verge of blowing a 3-0 lead?
This topped it. Like, I had such anxiety in my ride home from the game Friday night.
Why did you take them in there?
Because I commuted, Tiki. I was listening to music in my ears, and they're in a little fold-up case. And I got up. You know what I lost them to?
Where?
When I was booing Carlos Rodon.
That serves you right.
I stood up, and it fell to the ground underneath my seat in the little case. I booed him, got up, hey, Dad, watch out. Underneath the seat, I scooped up the case. It was closed. Didn't think anything of it. Way home, back seat of the car, go to watch the third period of the Stanley Cup game. I open up the... They're not in there.
Oh, so what? I know what happened.
So it hit, opened, closed.
Yes, and they all fell out.
Why would you think they fell? Like, in my mind, I would just assume they were in
there. Now, if you found these two stray AirPods at Yankee Stadium, can you save them, or are they dead since you don't have the box?
No, well, if you...
They're useless, right?
You could buy a case.
I don't know if it works that way.
I think you can.
Yeah. I think you need the mother case. If you don't have the mother case, I think it's dead.
Here's the other issue.
I don't know about the Apple AirPods, but others, because the ones I have, I think they're Bose. I lost the case. I left it on an airplane.
It's brutal.
So I just got another case, and they work and they charge just fine.
And
I don't know if Apple does it though.
Unnecessary. Apple's got some nerve. I go home. You know what? Let me calm down. I had them for 3-4 years. Right? They're like $200. Are you out of your mind? For two sticks, I stick in my ear.
You want me to make you happy?
What?
You want to be happy right now?
Please tell me somebody found them in section 123.
No, I was going to give you a Howie Ranger clip. That'll make you happy, right?
Yeah, that'll replace the AirPods.
You want to hear the most famous Howie Rose call of all time? We've all heard it a million times, but it's worth playing again?
Sure, on a night of Game 7. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the night of Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, we bring you back to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Actually, before we do that, I have this on my phone. Tell me if it's okay to play this. Can I play his call of the game-time call by Zelopukhin that sent it to overtime to begin with?
If you tell me Zelopukhin's first name.
Valerie. Okay. Valerie Zelopukhin.
Right, now you're allowed.
Oh, what's up, baby? So this is the only negative call we're going to play, and the reason I wanted to play this call is because
they're negative.
So for those that don't remember, I don't even know if you're familiar with this.
No.
In 94, Game 7, the New York Rangers.
I just graduated high school.
That's true. And it's hockey.
Exactly.
The Rangers are about to eliminate the New Jersey Devils in Game 7. They're about to win. There is 7.7 seconds to go, and the Devils shockingly tied the game. So when Stephane Matteau got that famous goal that Howie, of course, you know, made one of the great calls in the history of sport, there was a backbreaking call. And the reason I think it's okay to play this is because it all ended well. So I'm not offending you right now, Sean, as a Ranger fan, correct?
No, you're not. You got to take the bad when the good comes after.
Okay, absolutely. And it sets up the good. And it also shows you the brilliance of Howie Rose calling a devastating call. You're going to have to hear this over my phone because that's the only way the reception is good. And if it's terrible, I'll quickly stop. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rangers are about to go to the Cup Finals, and then they're not. What a great call, because you can hear the anger and shock in his voice,
right?
But it was also delivered incredibly well.
Of course. That's a great call.
It's a great call, and I don't want to let that sit too much longer because we need to give you the game winner. You've probably heard it many times. I'd argue the most famous call in hockey history. Can we go with that?
I agree.
How about that? Matteau, Matteau!
Rangers changing. Fetisov for the Devils plays it cross ice into the far corner. Matteau swoops in to intercept. Matteau behind the net. Swings it in front. He scores! Matteau! 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 Stephane Matteau! And the Rangers have one more hill to climb, baby! But it's Mark Vancouver! The Rangers are headed to the final!
I have never, ever, ever done cocaine in my life. But the feeling I just got in the back of my neck hearing that again, it's got to be the same feeling.
I have something for you guys later that I don't know if anyone's heard.
I love the one more hill to climb.
Baby!
With no Mount Vancouver.
Right. I have a clip that I found. I'd never heard it before, and we'll play it in a little bit, of Howie Rose right after they won the Stanley Cup Final with Mike Francesa at the Play-by-Play, the old restaurant at Madison Square Garden. And what I love about this, and we'll play this for you coming up at exactly 3:45 so you can set your clocks, you hear the emotion of a kid who grew up as a Ranger fan, who's calling them play-by-play right here on the fan, and getting to experience the exhilaration of winning the Stanley Cup. We've got that coming up, plus more of your calls. Edwin Diaz is about to be suspended for 10 games. And where's your panic level as a Yankee fan as they lose another series, this time to the Braves? 888-808-1019. And we cash in on a long-term bet. When was Giancarlo Stanton going to get hurt? We had our predictions 3 weeks ago. We'll let you hear what we said. Evan and Tinky here on the fan. Howie Rose in the building. He'll be with us coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll continue to pay tribute to 50 years in New York broadcasting. But I want to take you back to June 5th. June 5th was exactly 19 days ago right here on the show. And we had an interesting discussion about the health of Giancarlo Stanton, how it's been incredible how healthy he was. And I acknowledge, knocking on wood, hey, he's healthy for now, you never know, but how it had been a full year of Stanton being healthy. Because remember, he had his injury early last season. I think it was a hamstring as well. Came back from it. And it had been the remainder of last year and the first 2.5 months of this year where Giancarlo Stanton was healthy. So we had a nice discussion about it. And in the middle of said discussion, Sean Morash made an offhanded comment about, well, you know he's going to get hurt. And I said, okay. I think we got to have a long-term bet, as we like to have. So I'm going to play it for you, so you don't have to hear me just tell you what we said. You can hear what we said June 5th, 2024, a long-term bet on when Giancarlo Stanton, if he was going to go on the injured list. Take a listen. All right, here we go. We haven't done this in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Long-term bet starts right now. Long-term bet. Your answer could be a date. Your answer could be there is no date. Giancarlo Stanton has been on the injured list basically every year he's been a New York Yankee outside of the first year he was here. The date that Giancarlo Stanton goes on the injured list. Tiki Barber.
Never.
Never. IL list. Tiki. Never. I like that. I like that positivity. Sean Morash.
It'll be August 8th.
August.
Post deadline.
Eight.
And Dominguez will rake, and then we'll be sitting there in September going, what do they do now when Stanton's raking?
All right.
So you're creating a problem then.
It'll be one of those, it's a good problem to have, but we're going to get one of those ahead of the playoffs.
Now we're going with August 8th. Lugie, what date will Giancarlo go on the IL list? Is there a date or is it never?
I'm going to go July 8th, which is the week before the All-Star break. A little extended break for Big G.
July 8th? Okay. Should I join Tiki and say never? You know what? I got the answer. Many people, and I think it's completely unfair, but a lot of people out there believe that I'm a mush and that we're all mushes. Every time we say something, we mush something. Lugie thinks I'm like the biggest mush ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he thinks I mushed the Rangers because I put that Broadway hat on. He thinks I mushed the Mets because I was born.
But you were trying to mush the Mets.
Well,
and you were trying to mush the Rangers.
I was never trying to mush the Mets.
I mean the Rangers and the Yankees. You're trying to.
I was never trying anything. That is an unfair accusation. But so I will buy into this notion. So I say Giancarlo Stanton goes on the injured list in the next week. That this is...
Week?
Yeah, it's going to happen soon since we're talking about it. Since we just spent 10 minutes talking about how healthy he is. You put him over, his body, and this and that.
I'm going to go... I'm just talking about facts.
I'm going to go with June 25th. I'll give it a couple of weeks. He will go on the injured list in the month of June. That's my prediction. So wow. Save that audio, Sean.
Can't wait.
Or do you want to teach the intern how to do that?
All right. That's enough.
Wow.
I mean, I nailed it by a day and a half. I said June 25th. He goes on the IL June 23rd. And I don't want to brag about this because I didn't want Stanton to get hurt. None of us did. Tiki was the only one who's like, he's not getting hurt.
Well, it looks great.
It did look great.
And how he got hurt made no sense to me.
Yeah, he still doesn't know where he got hurt.
Well, he was rounding third base.
I know.
We saw it multiple times. And it just, you saw him grimace. It's like, what's with the world?
No, grimace is ours.
You saw him put on a sour face.
Oh, sorry, okay.
A resting man face.
Yes.
That's what he put on.
Resting man face, yes.
He wasn't doing anything. It's not like he was going fast.
Sometimes injuries happen like that.
He touched the bag that caused him to pull his hamstring.
No, I gotcha.
Or strain his hamstring.
Look, you
or
got,
whatever the heck it is.
If we're ranking right and wrong, you were the wrongest because you said never. Sean was the second wrongest because not only did he say August, he also had this fantasy world for him and Dominguez tearing it up.
Well, that's funny to you, huh?
Well, I mean, probably not going to happen. It may happen, but it won't happen for a while.
Huh.
Lugie was certainly the closest, July 8th, and somehow, like, I'm clairvoyant or I'm like a, what's that thing when you predict the future?
Soothsayer?
I'm a soothsayer. Mm-hmm. I'm Nostradamus.
Yeah, that was it.
Somehow I was off by a day and a half.
No, you weren't.
I mean, no, I wasn't.
You were the worst, by the way, because Tiki gave one answer, Sean gave one answer, I gave one answer, you gave three answers.
Oh, I gave... No.
You said within the next week, then you gave a date, then you said the month of May.
No,
so as
no,
usual,
hold on, Luke,
I said month of June.
He originally said, maybe I should do with Tiki, and say never.
So four answers.
Four.
So he covered four answers.
Oh, wow, he's right.
So what you need to understand, if you replay it, you'll hear it, is that's my thought process. I was like, oh, because this was not a planned out segment. It was merely a, hey, Sean just said something, we should do a long-term bet. So I'm thinking about it. I'm like, should I go never? Should I go, I'm thinking maybe this week. And then my official declaration was June 25th.
Huh.
So you can't say I gave four different answers.
No,
I gave one answer. I gave June 25th, and I don't want to be right about this. I feel bad, like, taking a victory lap, because I don't want the guy to get hurt. But clearly, in this long-term bet, I won. So,
no,
congratulations to me.
The final thing you said was, he will get hurt in the month of June. You don't get a month. This is not a birthday month.
I said
month.
June
you get
25th!
One day. No, you said, and then after, you go, he will get hurt in the month of June.
Yeah.
You don't get a month.
Yeah, you know what? You are wrong. I technically, since the conversation started, me am the most right because I was the one telling you guys he's going to end up on the IL.
You said August 8th.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, hopefully he's back by August 8th. I don't know. Either way, this sucks, and I think the exercise in our game was that this is not a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is one of those things that you could just sort of feel coming.
Yeah.
And it stinks because Giancarlo Stanton started to become a key figure in this lineup and was pretty important in this lineup. And replacing him right now for the next month, and I think it's going to be longer than a month when you talk about a hamstring issue, it's very difficult to do. It really turned into a major blow. And I think coming into this season, when we had talked about the fact that maybe he's a part-time player, maybe you just use him against lefties. Mm. Like, obviously, the season evolved in a way in which they needed him on a grander scale.
Yeah, it's frustrating because you just wanted to believe that this year was going to be different. You wanted to believe that his new loss of weight, his new physicality,
maybe he stretched a little bit this offseason, was going to be to work out. It was going to be beneficial, and he's going to be available the entire season. The challenge now is replacing the clutchness that he's had, right? I'm not saying he's hitting for a high average, but he has been clutch in some important games this year, and I don't know where you're getting that from. There's not an answer. There's not a veteran that can come provide this. And even if it is a young kid that they bring, there isn't one available. But if there was one, you couldn't trust them.
Yeah, I honestly,
so there's no easy substitution. As crazy as that sounds, for what Giancarlo Stanton was doing this year,
100%. And honestly, as much as you feel bad for the human, here's where Yankee fans are really upset. They're not upset with Giancarlo getting hurt. They're still upset about Dominguez because this was the moment.
Fact.
If Giancarlo gets hurt, we would have said, here's exactly what we would have said in this alternate universe where Dominguez is not hurt. Yeah. We would have said, oh, that stinks, very predictable. Dominguez time! Yeah. The Martian is coming! And it would have been a raw excitement about him coming up. And the fact that he's hurt is what I think makes this injury more difficult if you're a Yankee fan.
No, because you wanted to say the Martian's coming.
Yeah.
Right? You just wanted to believe it. Your alien theory finally comes true. The Martian's coming. But he's not available. And no. I don't even know when he's going to be available.
No, I think unfortunately with both guys, it's a while.
Yes.
That's the other thing. This isn't a, hey, we'll see in 15 days. In Giancarlo's case, you're looking at more than a month. And in the case of Dominguez, when you're talking about an oblique, that could be a while too.
They said 8 weeks for Dominguez.
Yeah.
That's a while. That's 2 months.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jake calling from Queens. How you doing, Jake?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
So I was thinking there's no need for DJ to play third at all. He should be on the bench. You could have J.D. Davis play against lefties at third and Oswaldo play against righties.
I think that you're going to see a lot of that, but here's where you're still going to end up seeing DJ LeMahieu, in my opinion. I think there will be days where he plays first base. Mm. I don't think Ben Rice is going to be every day, and there may be some time at second base. And you know what? That's okay. And if DJ can prove he hits, then he plays. Like, this needs to be, tell me if I'm using this phrase correctly, this needs to be a meritocracy.
Yes.
Where DJ LeMahieu...
Not a meritocracy, like America, but a meritocracy.
That's what I said.
Yes, I know. But it sounded like you were saying America.
Meritocracy. I think Tiki is implying that I think that the word involves America. And guess what? He's right. I thought that.
Samesies.
But did I use the word correctly?
You did.
There you go.
You use it exactly correctly. I was just clarifying.
Thank you. It needs to be a merit. Oh, I get it now. It's merit.
Yes.
Like merit.
Yes.
Like you get a lot of merit. Meritocracy.
Yes.
I definitely thought it was America. Me too. Tiki's so good. He knows when, yeah, I'm using the word right, but I think the word means or it comes from a different place.
He read the room. He's like, oh, these idiots.
He read it so right. But the point is, it needs to be a meritocracy. If DJ LeMahieu hits, he plays. I look at Jeff McNeil the same way.
100%.
Treat him like a bench player. Once he starts to prove he can play, great, he gets to play. Dominic in Port Washington. What's up, Dominic?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? I wanted to ask you, I'm a big Met fan, been a Met fan my whole life.
Yes.
I am in the good times and the bad times.
Yes.
What do you think of this solution for the 10 days? Put Nunez as the closer.
I don't know. First of all, I don't know if they need to designate one guy as the guy who comes in and immediately closes games. I think you've got to play the matchup card. Mm. Like, I think if it happens to be an inning in which there are lefties out there, you may see Jake Diekman. I think that on some days it may be Reed Garrett, who has really saved this season and has started to pitch a lot better recently after he had that very, very difficult month. So I think that I wouldn't say it's got to be Dednell Nunez or Reed Garrett or Adam Ottavino or Drew Smith. Yeah. I think it's a matchup.
Well, the challenge is that there's not a guy with killer elite stuff, right? Like Diaz has, right? With a slider fastball combination, or really fastball slider combination. There isn't that.
I mean, Reed strikes a lot of guys out.
Yeah, but is he dominating, overpowering?
No.
And so it's probably going to be Reed. And it should be, but it I don't know.
I don't think it has to be. Like, I think sometimes you've got to manage your bullpen by just managing the game and seeing who's up, who's been pitching well. Like, one of the beauties of their not being a pitcher hitting and there being a DH is when a guy pitches a nasty eighth inning, you don't have to worry about that guy coming up the next inning. You can have him pitch the ninth inning. If Dednell Nunez, who did not pitch well last night, now he had a long layoff, so it's okay, but if Dednell Nunez retires six in a row in the seventh or eighth inning and looks ultra-dominant, let him start the ninth inning. I don't think you need to have these defined roles, but this is going to be a battle. This is 10 games that Edwin Diaz is going to miss. And I assume at some point today or tomorrow, MLB will make it official, and they will officially suspend him for 10 games, so certainly break the glass and let us know when it's official. And that means 2 games against the Yankees, 3 games against Houston, 4 games against Washington. By the way, I'm borrowing a phrase from you guys.
Go ahead.
I started using it on the Rico. I'm going to use it now here. The Nationals, much like the Cubs, are what we like to call a peer-tier team.
Yes, that was a football term.
You used that for the Giants, and it turned out to be wrong because the Giants sucked. Remember that?
That was 2 years ago they were talking about
peer-tier. No, that was last year.
Was it?
Just store that comment so that in 2 months when Evan tells me I hate the Jets.
Yes. Yeah, and we put them in the peer-tier category with, say, I don't know, the Chargers.
Well, hold on a second. I wasn't editorializing. I was merely saying the Giants were bad last year. Like, we all know that.
The Giants suck.
Yeah.
3 plays from 9 wins. Okay.
Oh, we're not talking about the Jets. I'm merely saying at the beginning of last football season, I have a long memory. I thought it was a great term. Did you create that term, Teague?
I think I did.
Peer-tier.
If not, we're going to definitely give him credit because I didn't hear anybody else.
I love that term. I think we could use it for everything. Basically, what Teague was saying is, hey, when the Giants play the teams that are on their level, Seattle was an example.
Yes.
Those are really important. The Eagles, the Cowboys, unfortunately, are better. They're not a peer-tier team, but these other teams are. So in the National League, and I think it's more applicable for the Mets now than it even was the Giants, considering they sucked last year, the Mets have about 9 teams in the National League. The Pirates, the Nationals, the Padres, the Giants. I'm going to go through the
whole thing. You're going to name them all 9? By the way, it's applicable. 2 words.
That's it. Excuse me?
No, it's not.
It's 1 word.
Tiki, can you let him
just go down?
You think you're going to fool me with that?
I know. I was like, what?
Applicable.
I couldn't even let it go.
It was so alarming to his ears.
Right.
But there's a lot of peer-tier teams. And the point is, in 5 of the 10 games Edwin Diaz is going to miss, they're against peer-tier teams. Mm. Truth. We'll get back to your calls in a minute. But here is this very important clip we told you about that you may have never heard. So Howie Rose, and we are celebrating him throughout the day, 50 years in New York sports media. He's going to join the show coming up at 5 o'clock, and he's got his own show tonight, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. It's going to be fantastic. Howie Rose, broadcaster, New York Rangers, grew up, Met fan, Ranger fan, whole thing, was on with Mike Francesa at the Play by Play, which used to be a restaurant in Madison Square Garden. And so Mike had him on. I think this is the night the Rangers won the Stanley Cup. Like, I think it's that night, if I'm not mistaken. And Howie is on with Mike, and this is like amazing stuff because you hear the emotion, you hear the excitement, you hear everything from the voice of the Rangers at the time, Howie Rose. You also hear older Mike Francesa. So, ladies and gentlemen, we go back into the vault to 1994. Mike Francesa and Howie Rose.
Welcome back to the play-by-play. We've been all over the garden tonight as the Rangers finally win a Stanley Cup after 54 years. Crowd here is going wild. Like I told you before, folks, it's like New Year's Eve. And one of the happiest guys in the whole building is my FAN buddy, the voice of the Rangers, who called the second period, sandwiched around the first and third by his idol, Marv Albert. Howie Rose joins us in the play-by-play. How sweet is this, huh?
Mikey, this is too much. I got to tell you. For a skinny, dorky little kid from Bayside with no athletic talent whatsoever, who only wanted to call Ranger games since the age of 12, I'm telling you, there's my wife Barbara, there's my daughters Alyssa and Chelsea. I just wish my dad could be here for this. And there's this. I don't care how dorky this looks, and I don't care how unprofessional this sounds, but there ain't nothing like this. Hey, let me just say something. Wait a minute. Wait. Never mind, you know, me having grown up in this place, season ticket holder, taking my tape recorder here and all that. Forget that. This is for all of you, okay? Because let me tell you something. Wait. You want? I'll tell you something.
Go ahead, Hal.
This is not 7,000 people on the island, and this is not 10,000 people in Jersey. This is 18,200 of the greatest fans, and I mean bar none, in professional sports. We've had some lousy teams to watch over the years, but these great people are here every stinking night. When Winnipeg's here, and when the Islanders are here.
Howie's doing a network deal here.
I don't care.
Calm down. Hey,
I don't care.
It's a great night, though. I know how fucked up you are. We got a lot more to do from the play-by-play. We got a lot of guests coming up, so we're going to stay on the air for a while. We're not going anywhere. Howie's not going anywhere. We go back to Sam right now. Sam, take it away.
Now, Sean, as you hear that, how much does that give you tingles?
Oh, totally tickles.
Because that's the night they won the cup, right?
That's an unbelievable feeling. I mean, Mike Francis's fake laugh at the end. But no, that was an unbelievable call. Yes, just picturing that moment. And he's right. All those fans packed in there. And he is right. I think greatest fans in this town, the New York Ranger fans.
All right, can I cleanse myself? And for anyone out there who's an Islander fan, Howie was the TV voice of the Islanders for a damn long time.
Right. Try not to address.
And this is a clip that I think is important to play. And I want to warn my fellow Islander fans, it's still important to play despite what we think about the human being that's being called in this play. I was in the building this night, Barclays Center, Brooklyn, New York, the New York Islanders, and the Florida Panthers. How about them? Mm. A little irony.
About to make history.
About to make history. As you may recall, the Islanders at the time had not won a postseason series in 23 years. And by the way, the entire time Howie is calling this team. So he's had to experience it as well as the TV voice of the New York Islanders. Got to go back to 1993 when they shockingly defeated the Pittsburgh Penguins for the last time the Islanders had won a playoff series. John Tavares, and I'm going to be nice, because look, there were some great moments from John Tavares, all right, despite the way things ended. John Tavares scored a game-tying goal with it felt like there was less than a minute to go. Mm-hmm. And then in double overtime, with the Islanders up 3-2, the New York Islanders won a round for the first time in 23 years. And on the call was the voice of the New York Islanders, Howie Rock.
Tavares, quick shot, saved, made by the pad of Luongo. Tavares scores! Tavares wins it on a backhander! It's over! It is all over! For the first time in 23 years, the New York Islanders have won a playoff round. And perhaps the most fitting man to score the winner is John Tavares.
I gotta be honest with you. There are moments that age better for you as a fan, and then moments that age worse. Like, when I think back to some great moments in Met history, like, I hear it now, I get even more emotional than then, because, like, so much time goes by. Because of the success the Islanders had a few years later in getting to back-to-back conference finals, or semifinals, because mm-hmm. of the pandemic, and the fact that JT was, you know, kind of a rat who left, I look at that, and I remember how I felt that day. Again, I was in the building with my wife, and I remember being excited, but I also look at it as, eh.
it doesn't mean that much to you, right?
No, because of those two things.
Yeah.
The Islanders' success, which matters, and then also the fact that, you know, he put his little pajamas on and he left. So, that's a small part of it. But, man, you see the versatility.
Yeah.
The baseball, the hockey, the talk show host, the greatness that is Howie Rose. And we continue to honor him today. And again, he'll join us coming up at 5 o'clock.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.